and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Hurricane Helene is a Category 3 storm now. It's a huge hurricane and will create a dangerous storm surge along Florida's western coast. The Hurricane Center's Michael Brennan.
A really unsurvivable scenario is going to play out here in this portion of the Florida coastline.
Reporter Tom Hansen has more.
Mandatory evacuations are in order for at least 20 coastal counties, and federal task forces from around the country are getting into place to rescue those who don't heed the warnings.
Meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky today, Kamala Harris spoke about the need for allies.
The United States cannot and should not isolate ourselves from the rest of the world. Isolation is not insulation.
The U.S. and Israel are holding talks on a ceasefire proposal for Lebanon. White House spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre.
We do not believe an all-out war is the answer.
On Wall Street, the Dow finished up 260 points. CBS News Brief. I'm Cammie McCormick.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A 4-year-old girl from Neillsville is expected to pull through after being found shot in a home yesterday. At this point, investigators say it looks like another child shot her with a handgun. They haven't said whether it was an accident. Local election clerks are busy explaining how secure Wisconsin's balloting is. For instance, Madison City Clerk Maribeth Witzel-Bale says all poll workers work in twos.
Two poll workers initial your ballot. Two poll workers are checking you into the poll book. Two poll workers are involved if an absentee is damaged and needs to be remade.
About 2,000 Madison voters were recently sent duplicate absentee ballots by accident. Witzel-Bale says barcodes will prevent anyone from voting twice. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. What's known as a soft lockdown happened at the Marshfield High School yesterday after what's being referred to as a swatting incident. Here's what happened. On Wednesday, the school resource officer received a report of concerns over the mental state of a student at the high school. The caller alleged the student made comments about committing an act of violence at the school. About 20 minutes later, Wood County Dispatch received a call saying the same student just committed a stabbing at a home in rural Marshfield. Officers responded to the home, and administrative staff at the high school were made aware. Because they didn't know where the student was, the high school was moved into a soft lockdown. Officers quickly located the student off school grounds and found the calls received were not credible. The matter is under investigation as they view this crime of swatting to be a public safety issue. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Milwaukee Brewers are officially the third seed in the National League. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Lemons. With Los Angeles and Philadelphia both winning Wednesday, the Brewers are now locked in and will play in next week's wild card round. The Brewers beat the Pirates 5-2 this afternoon and will finish up with the Mets in a potential playoff preview this weekend. Green Bay plays Minnesota this week, and the big question is, will Jordan Love play? Love says he's feeling better each time out.
At the end of the day, it's all feel things. Feeling my body, feeling if I'm pushing too much, and my body's kind of just listening to my body, talking to me. And, the workout, even the workout pregame Sunday, I felt like I was moving around pretty well, and my body was responding well to it.
Coach Matt LaFleur says they are taking it one day at a time. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. The Milwaukee Bucks announced former player Junior Bridgman as a significant minority owner of the team today. Bridgman will have about a 10% stake in the franchise. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
Fantastic weather today with unseasonable warmth under sunny skies. Highs rise to near 80 degrees. Winds are calm and skies stay clear tonight too, allowing for some patchy fog possible early tomorrow morning. Otherwise, a warm day with bright skies. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 78 degrees.
It's time to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your chance to win in this statewide contest. Get ready to go for the greener gold with your local Civic Media radio station.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious. 1 in 10 kids vape serious. Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we will preview the Wisconsin Badgers taking on the USC Trojans live from Los Angeles, California. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, September 26, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 4:30, we're going to welcome in natural resource educator Anna Mitchell from UW-Madison Division of Extension Wood County. Right now, we have with us in studio our favorite people. Our favorite people, just period. We have the Hittners with us. I'm just going to introduce you guys as the Hittners now.
That's quicker. We don't have time for anything else.
Right, but we get right to it. But no. We have Katrina, Stephen, and Mike with us today. Yes. We have the gang.
Good morning to everybody in radio. Land. I'm here mainly to add color for your morning.
We appreciate that.
And just to describe, his clothes are blue and green today, everyone.
Yeah, nice rich dark tones.
Some great stuff. And I was just thinking we need more color in this segment. Yeah. So perfect. Excellent.
Yeah, James and I are rocking the blacks here. We need to switch it up a little bit more.
A little bit more. I want to get right into things over there because it's a busy time of year for you guys. We're going to talk anniversary in a little bit, have presentation recap. Mm-hmm. But first, what's happening over at the shop?
Yeah, so like always, it is that season. Everybody's feeling busy. We're all coming in trying to boost up their immunity and everything like that. I just wanted to just touch base a little bit about a presentation that has gotten switched. We've been talking about it a lot. We are going to have an essential oil presentation, but it's going to switch a little bit. Same date, October 29th at 5:15. That's a Tuesday.
Same time.
All that's the same, but we're switching it. The essential oil presenter actually can't make it that day, but we're going to do something fun. We've been talking about doing for a while, and so it's going to be an experiment. It's going to be a fall panel discussion. So this one, we're not going to have Mike Hittner, but hopefully we can bring him into the panel discussion with all of his lovely years of experience. But at the store, we have a lot of experts in different things, whether it's pet health. We have two herbalists at the store. We have a nurse at the store. So we have a lot of diversity, and together we can really answer a lot of different questions. Mm-hmm. And so we're leaving it as come with your questions. They can be anything from digestive to prenatal health to pet health. I mean, you name it. And if we don't have an answer, we'll figure out an answer.
How about prenatal pet health?
We might be there. That might be two of us working together.
Pretty good.
See, they're already trying to get me on the spot this. It's great.
Katrina's ready for it. That's clear.
I love that it's your own family, too, doing it.
Yes, exactly.
It's just so reminiscent of my own family.
She's used to it.
Yes, I am.
She can clearly handle anything. So it's going to be fun. And I think we have done a panel discussion once years ago.
CBD days.
Yeah, when CBD was just kind of coming out. It was over 5 years ago. Between 5 and 10 years ago, one of our earlier discussions, we brought a farmer, we brought an expert from the CBD industry, and something else. We had three different people. Mm-hmm. And that was one of our best attended lectures ever, was this panel discussion. And it was just, we thought about it, we're like, let's bring together some experts and just let people ask questions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if people aren't sure kind of what to ask for questions, we're doing a thematic thing. Mm-hmm. So this one's going to be the fall theme.
Mm-hmm. And we might talk about immune system. If it's crickets, we're not going to make it be crickets there. Sure. We're going to have discussion points that we're going to talk about, but ideally it'll bring conversations about, it'll bring creativity and of course answering people's questions. Mm-hmm. So definitely start writing down your questions, mark your calendar for October 29th at 5:15. It's our fall panel discussion.
When you do something like this and you keep it loose where you can kind of go from one topic to the next or kind of listen to the audience and kind of follow their lead, you know, that you only open yourself up to not only a real fun a conversation, mm-hmm. but an opportunity for the community to be able to ask questions about things that maybe they don't normally get a chance to.
Yeah,
exactly. It's a really wonderful idea. I actually think that this, with the popularity of something like this, you might end up getting yourself in a routine here of doing this yearly
That's
or something like that.
That's our hope we're going to do, maybe like a fall and a spring one. So we're just trying it out, and so that'll be exciting.
Yep, definitely.
We'll be reminding the audience about that in our morning mm-hmm. shows and everything. That's great to hear. That's a fun one.
Yes.
I know you wanted to get into anniversary talk. You
want
to dive right
in? Let's jump in. So Steve and I were just chatting with our dad before the radio, and Steven said, you probably started the anniversary events, didn't you? The customer appreciation days. So we have the expert here with us, Mike Hintner, the one who has started it really, as you know, he's always said so humbly, like really, it's our thank you to the community for all their years of, you know, working with us, for supporting us. We're a family-run business, and I think it's a great idea what you started, what, 30?
Probably about 30 years ago.
Yeah, 30 years ago. So, do you want to give the context for anybody that's not new to what the anniversary sale is?
Or some highlights from past anniversaries, perhaps?
Well, the anniversary sale is, like Katrina said, was our giving back to the community for their support for so many, many, many years. And it's held in the fall, though actually our anniversary is in the spring. But because of the unknown weather in March, it was kind of decided, well, let's not do that. We might have a snow out or something like that. And so this was our time to do it in the fall. And I think it's worked really well for the community and for ourselves. And we love to see all the people. I mean, we see people we only see maybe a couple, three, four times a year. We see people we see once a week, and it's a great mix of people. And and the people come there, and they get to see the other people they know, and so it gets to be like a community event after a while, because everybody's visiting with everybody else and talking and saying, oh, I use this for this, and oh, you mm-hmm. do, okay, and so you know it goes on and on from there. But I think it's a great time, and it's a celebration of the community, and it's our celebration of the people that come in and support us. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so interesting to hear that, sir, because honestly, when I've been at this event over the years and I've heard people talk about this event over the years, we're going to get to the sales, and you guys go above and beyond when it comes to sales mm-hmm. and the different things that you offer during this event. But that's what I hear from people first and foremost, is that the people that they run into and get a chance to talk to. Terry and I were just talking about it, that this event is one of those ones that people look forward to, in part, mainly just so they can run into people or have those mm-hmm. conversations. Maybe even ask some of those questions that they haven't had a chance to ask that they have written down, Katrina, mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, well, now I can ask you because I'm going there for this anyway.
Yep, exactly.
It's really cool what you've created with this, where it was an idea of, we want to thank the community, where the community has kind of been like, well, we want to throw this right back at you. We appreciate you guys. We appreciate what you have here and giving us an opportunity to be able to have these
James,
chances.
It's a mutual love affair.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And has been for a long time.
It has been for a while. So, yeah, we're going to celebrate our 78th anniversary, which is incredible. And just to kind of give people like a little framework of what this one will look like. So it's on Friday, October 4th, and Saturday, October 5th. Our normal business hours those days. So Friday is 9 to 6 and Saturday is 9 to 4. It's going to be 20% off of supplements, homeopathics, CBDs, you know, different, like all of our supplement line. And then the cosmetics as well. So essential oils, or maybe you need shampoo or toothpaste, whatnot. So it'll be 20% off of those things. And then what we love about it is there's a chance, right? My dad was saying, like, you get to connect with other community members. And I just heard this from someone else the other day saying, I'm just excited to come to see my friends. And I said, yes, I love this. It's a community event. It's so fun. But other things to look forward to for our anniversary. So, right, the 20% off of supplements and cosmetics. But we're going to have door prizes. So you sign up to win a door prize. And there's incredible door prizes.
And everybody always talks about how, like, they said, oh, I won a prize last year. They say, I never win anything. Yeah. And that's because we try to get a a lot of door prizes. Mm-hmm. So you got a high chance of winning. It's not like there's just one item sitting on there and it's like, oh, I'm not going to win that. You know, it's like oftentimes we have over 70 different door prizes. We're calling people for days.
Yeah, we are.
And it's a lot of fun. And it's always fun seeing people come in and say, oh, I never win anything. I'm so like, they're just overjoyed. So that's something that's been really fun that our dad's actually done for a long time. Another kind of tradition that we've carried on that he started, I don't know when, we can ask him, maybe he'll remember, is giving away a free gift with each purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got, every year we kind of try to bring our best game to the show. Kind of, we're like, what can we give away this year? And we always want to give something to people that they could all use and they could appreciate, and something they can maybe even remember when they take it home. So that's also a really nice thing, is everybody goes home with a free gift. That's in addition to all the discounts like Katrina was
saying. And I think we should do a teaser. We're not going to say what it is, but we're going to be working with WHAM Incorporated.
Oh, nice. Yeah, nice.
In Wisconsin Rapids.
With Phil Hartley. So we're really excited about that.
I do think that from now on, anytime Phil is talking about the company, WHAM! He has to do the WHAM! You have to say it that way.
I like it. Yeah.
I was in Point yesterday hanging out with my daughter doing a recording session, and Bree has been coming to Rapids here a little bit more, and she's been learning more about Family Natural Foods. And I was telling her about the event here and everything.
She should come.
And one of the things she asked right away, being a younger person and everything, is, well, with all this stuff going on, do I have to do this? Do I have to do that? Do I have a QR code to hit? Do I have any? No. No, none of that. None of that. Nowadays, it feels like if you want a deal on something, you've got to literally jump through hoops. Like, you've got to have an app.
You got to sell your soul.
Yes. Yeah. You're signing off your mortgage. You didn't even know you were doing it.
First child. Yeah.
Rumpelstiltskin coming over. Like, it's all these different things. You guys.
We just keep it simple.
Just
so,
come by.
Yep. And I mean, you can ask the questions if something's on sale or not, but a lot of things are on sale. And it's going to be fun, right? The door prizes we have, the sales that are happening. There's the free gift that you get.
Free samples out front.
We're going to have some different representatives with different companies that will be coming in as well, talking about certain brands that people might be familiar with, like True Grace.
Which is a great Wisconsin-based company.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They got a really, really excellent person there working, and they can answer all the questions and more. We can cover a lot of them, but she'll do a great job. On Friday, we have Peter from Nature's Plus, and I think my dad worked with Peter. Like, that's how long Peter's been in this industry. Wow. So he knows everything.
Yeah, it's kind of unusual to get a rep that actually calls on you nowadays. Yeah. You know, most of them are over the phone or the internet or something, but actually a rep that calls on you. He's been doing it for about 25 years, so that's really magic there.
Yeah, Peter's a great guy. I just love connecting with him because he's very genuine. He's from Minnesota, so, you know, kind of like our neighbor here. Yeah. And
That's Friday. Saturday, we're going to have, her name is Liz, and we've talked about Gaia, that company it's out of North Carolina. It's a certified organic herbal company. They do really great blends and clean gummies, not the ones that taste like sugar.
Made with fruit juices. Mm-hmm. And it's like the kind of thing you'd want to give to your kids or yourself for that matter.
Yeah, so she'll be doing that and some protein powder sampling as
Lots
well.
Lots of things to taste.
Then we have his name is Philip, and he's with Clover Meadows. It's an amazing grass-fed, A2 casein-free milk that is just north, like near Wausau. And so he'll be doing yogurt samples and milk samples. That's on Saturday. And you'll taste, people will describe it and they'll say, this is how milk should taste. This is how the milk I grew up on, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what you want. It's non-homogenized, it's what you want.
Yeah, I've had people come in and say like, oh, I grew up on a dairy farm. And I remember going into the bulk tank and, you know, getting fresh milk. And they'll say, I've heard more than one person say this, it tastes like that. I haven't tasted that kind of milk since I was a kid on a farm. And it's because all this milk comes from one farm. Mm. So most of the times when you get milk, it probably comes from 100, I don't know how many farms, 1,000, but, you know, this all the milk comes from one farm. It's biodynamic, which is actually above and beyond organic. Mm. So if you haven't heard of biodynamic, it's I would compare it to organic standards. Mm. So very high, standards. Everything's in glass. Mm. So you don't have all the plastic going on. Mm. And it's non-homogenized, like Katrina said. And it's
low heat pasteurization. You have to legally have it pasteurized in the state of Wisconsin, but it's low heat.
But it doesn't have to be homogenized. So this isn't homogenized again. Mm. Really, really amazing stuff. And the yogurts are probably my favorite personally, because I'm a big yogurt fan. And they all have like basically three ingredients: milk, the culture, and then like
maple syrup.
Mm.
Or berries,
like actual fruit.
Oh my God,
fruit.
That sounds awesome.
You know, real fruit. It's like a smoothie almost. It's so great. We sell so much of this yogurt. Like, how much are we going through a week or so now?
I don't know. I can't keep track of it. We're getting another order of it this week, so that's good news.
I think it's like over 24 bottles a week or so, which is a lot for... Yeah. These are full-size bottles. These aren't like little like day size. So anyways, I'm really excited. We've never had him there before. That'll be great. We've also got Tom Heck coming in.
Tom Heck with Terry Naturally. So we've had him years ago, but Terry is such a strong brand for us at the store. It's really nice to have people ask questions, and Tom is great there to really, you know, give some samples out as well as really direct your questions.
And Tom is like, people have kind of got to know Tom because he's
they know
with,
his name.
They've worked with Terry. He's worked with Terry Natural since the beginning of the company. And so like, I've known him forever. I'm just like, he's like synonymous with the company. So like, everything that people like about Terry, they really appreciate about Tom. He's very genuine, and he knows the answers about all the products and stuff. So definitely any questions for about Terry Naturally, the company, stop in and talk to Tom. Yeah.
So this is going to be October 4th and 5th, our anniversary customer appreciation sale. Definitely come join, bring a friend, come on Friday, decide to come back Saturday. We have people do that. We love it. We love, you know, smiling and thanking the community, which has been really fun. Do you have any little like stories of past stories?
I think this would be a fun one for guys. There's two different things that I remember he was doing with the anniversary event. One, we had Spiros come in, who's a local community guy, likes doing video recording and stuff. And he kind of did like a little documentary. We talked to customers. My dad was kind of like the head interviewer. So he would go around and talk to the customers, and Spiros would record it. And then we got these, we connected with some like customers who'd been shopping there for years. And that was fun. And some new customers too.
And I think Zach that time did a drone over the store and people coming in and that sort of thing, so that we had
fun footage of that. And then we've also often had music at it.
Leanne and
Leanne would probably be the most famous. Do you want to talk about Leanne and what she did and how you started that?
Well, we just wanted to add a little pizzazz, and we had some polka dancers in our employee base, and so Leanne is from Port Edwards area, and she plays, you know, the accordion and everything like that, and she usually brings a friend or two that plays either a horn or something else. And so we got Leanne in there for a number of years, and customers were going in the back, and we cleared out a space, and they were poking and just listening to the music, and so it was a great addition. We actually even left the door open so people could hear it up front a little bit too. Awesome. So and it kind of drew people in because they loved the music and the, you know, the great polka music that Leanne plays. So
that sounds awesome.
Totally. I also, a memory that I think of kind of through my childhood and helping out with the store, is we had a gentleman named Steve Gillis, and he was the Barleans representative, and he would make
popcorn
and he would sprinkle the Barleans flax oil on top, and a lot of people would recognize and remember that. But the smells and the sounds were, we'd have music in the back, popcorn popping. I mean, it's like a good time.
The flax oil on it, James and people in Radioland, it tastes almost exactly like butter. So you get the benefits of flax oil, but without the extra things that maybe you don't need from extra butter, but you don't have the calories and everything else, and you got the benefits. It's a great mix.
Ooh,
and Steve came up with that on his own, I believe.
Yeah, he was great. So we'll have to, maybe for the 80th anniversary, we'll have to bring back the popcorn and
thinking
some polka
the same
dancing.
Thing. You and I are thinking the same thing, man. Yeah.
So stay tuned.
Got it. Definitely going to have to bring that one back at some point.
Okay, so we have a few minutes to recap digestive health.
Yes.
So let's see. My radio.
A big presentation. So we kicked off our presentation series this week. It was on Tuesday. And we had Dr. Tracy come through. And she's so great. She's a naturopathic doctor. She's been doing this for 20 plus years. Folks who come to it always come again. Like, they really like what she has to talk about, because digestive health kind of relates to everybody. We can all improve our digestion. Doesn't matter if it's acid reflux, constipation.
Or like Dr. Tracy was saying, if you're eating foods, right, foods have nutrients in them, or your supplements have nutrients in them. If you have a good digestive system, you're going to absorb things way better. So It's not, everybody should say, really
it's,
work
it's
on
not
it.
It's what you eat, it's what you absorb.
Yes.
And I think that's something that we don't always think about. And that's why we really love the company she works with is Vital Planet. Brenda Watson is the founder of that company, and she's been doing digestive health for over 30 years, and that's all she does. So to have a company that's really focused on that is really special, and I think it's an important pillar of our speaker series to always have at least one or two events throughout the year about digestive health, and Dr. Tracy kicked us off really well with that, and I encourage people to stay tuned on our future speaker series. We have, I don't know, we're going to have one each month, and they're going to be great. They're free to attend. There's usually some free gifts and giveaways or some at this event.
Three people left with something that was going to be benefiting them, for sure. Go ahead,
I was
James.
Just going to say real quick, in the time that I've talked to her or read about her, one of the things that came up I thought that was really noteworthy is how many people she talks to that don't realize they're having digestive issues until they talk to her or hear her talk. And like, oh, wait, that's not normal? Or, I'm dealing with something, because we don't talk about it that much, so we don't even know what normal is for a lot of the time. So, yeah, I encourage others to check out a lot of the work that she's doing over there. She's really a smart person when it comes to this topic and really makes you comfortable talking about these things.
Yeah, we talked about poop. We talked about that. She talked about what poop should look like. And I was trying to remember what the name's bricks. The bricks. There's a you can look and actually see what your poop should look like, everyone.
Right. She's great at this stuff. And just so really good at talking about it, where it's just like you're talking about anything else. Makes you really comfortable.
And she reminded us too that, 70% of your immune system lives in your digestive system. So another reason of keeping it clean, keeping it healthy. We can recap on this probably, for hours longer. It's definitely something we can all use, whether it's our brain, our digestive system, it's fantastic. So definitely come and ask us questions. We'll try to do our best recap on it.
Oh yeah. It's all fresh in our mind now. So if you got any questions on digestive health, come in this week, next week, it's fresher than ever. And we got some extra handouts and stuff we could give folks too. If they come in, they just want to ask us for them.
And keep in mind, everybody, that the Gang of Family Natural Foods is always anxious to answer your questions. They are there for that. And as much as to say hi and greet you, visit our friends over at Family Natural Foods at 910 West Grand Avenue, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. And you guys are going to be with us before the sale, aren't you?
No, this is it. So just a reminder, we have our 78th Customer Appreciation Sale, and it's going to be on Friday, October 4th and Saturday, October 5th. Come celebrate with us.
We will be sure to make sure that you guys get a great turnout. Not that you need us, but we will be sure to be raving about this on the morning show and everything, and make sure you guys have a good turnout. And I'll see you down there. I'll be down there
Sounds good.
As well.
Great.
So,
thank you.
And thank you both, as always. Love talking with you guys. Mike, I don't ever really interview you. We're co-hosts. We co-host together.
Yes,
I appreciate that, sir. It's also interesting to hear about the documentary thing you guys were talking about, because I get that all the time when I get him on the air with me. I always get to co-host with him, so it's great. Good to see you, sir. Yeah. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, James and WFHR.
Find out more at FamilyNaturalFood.com, FamilyNaturalFood.com. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. It's a great way to keep up to date on all the cool things that they are doing over there at Family Natural Foods. We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
The morning show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
Many people struggle with a lot of these things, though, like making and maintaining friends, making new friends. Mm. These are things that actually, like, I am very envious of the people that are good at making friends or can just start a conversation with just about anybody.
What people don't understand is that's why James hired me and Melissa, not because, you know, we're talented or anything. He's lonely.
Very.
That's how he gets friends. He hires them to work with him.
My friend's contact list, it is three.
Weekdays from 8 to 10.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The mayor of Wausau maintains he did nothing wrong when he moved the absentee ballot drop box Sunday. Doug Denny insists he wasn't up to anything nefarious, but Denny's actions sparked a protest the other night. Some people in Wisconsin are trying to save Native American languages. Laura Red Eagle is a member of the Ho-Chunk Nation and part of the Indigenous Language Table. It's a group that meets in Madison once a week to have everyday chats in Native tongues.
It takes a veil away. You can kind of see how people think, how you view the world. You can ask questions, and you don't feel stupid for doing that because anybody that's showing up for a language class is already super brave.
The United Nations predicts more than half of the world's languages will disappear in about 75 years. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wausau Mayor Doug Denny's decision to move their ballot drop box from the front of City Hall has received national attention. Wausau City Clerk Caitlin Bernard released a statement yesterday saying she reported the incident as an election irregularity to the Marathon County District Attorney and the Wisconsin Elections Commission. She also said the box was locked and clearly labeled kiosk closed. It was not yet functional and no ballots could be accepted. City staff went to secure the drop box and open it for collection on Monday morning, and they found it had been removed. The matter is under investigation. Eligible voters in Wausau may return their own ballot in the silver payment box in front of City Hall until the ballot drop box matter is resolved. The town of Saratoga will have a bulk item drop-off event next Saturday. It will be on October 5th from 8 to 2 at the town hall. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Expect Sean Diddy Combs to be in the news for the next several months with most likely an escalation of disgust. The former music mogul is being sued for sexual assault by a victim who claims that Combs and his bodyguard sexually assaulted her at his home recording studio in New York City back in 2001. Talia Graves, who was dating an executive who worked for Combs, says she was brutally molested and has dealt with physical and emotional trauma ever since. Graves decided to pursue legal action after learning a video of the incident was circulated last fall. Jessica Biel is out on the show that she was the star of and executive producer on. Deadline reports that the actress left The Good Daughter, which was based on Karen Slaughter's novel of the same name. Slaughter is also an executive producer on the show and writing every episode. The search is underway for a female lead after Biel's exit. The show is set to stream on Peacock in March. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 50s. Sunshine and beautiful for tomorrow with a high around 80. And upper 70s to near 80 this weekend and mostly sunny. It stays warm through Monday, then cooler through mid-next week. Right now, it's 78 degrees.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. I have some great news for our money. The Fed just cut interest rates for the first time in 4 years. This means that buying a house or a car is about to get a little easier and a little cheaper because loans are going to cost less. It might be time for some refinancing. And my favorite part is that credit card interest rates should also be coming down. This is because inflation is under control. The Fed is the Federal Reserve. It's the central bank of the U.S. They kept interest rates high because they wanted to bring down inflation. And the current administration has done a lot to curb price gouging from corporations. So now inflation is low enough that the country's top bankers, the folks at the Fed, have cut interest rates. It feels pretty great to share some good money news. I'd love to hear yours. Drop me a comment on any one of my videos over at Work Money Media on YouTube.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, the Brewers head into the final regular season series this weekend as we look ahead to next week's opening round of the Major League Baseball postseason.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, September 26, 2024. I have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by our great friend, Anna Mitchell, natural resource educator with UW-Madison Division of Extension, Wood County. Anna, good to see you.
Good to see you too, James.
Thanks so much for being here and bringing us a great topic today. We're going to get into community science and, of course, science by the river, one of our favorite things and favorite events in this area. But first off, before we dive into that, you know, I think it's a good idea to get into what community science is, Anna.
Yeah. Community science, it's a form of research that provides everyone. It doesn't matter if you're just from the general public or you're a researcher, regardless of your background, an opportunity to contribute meaningful data to further our scientific understanding of key issues. Community science opportunities are abundant in our world and oftentimes go unnoticed or unmentioned, which is quite a shame because they're really important and community science efforts have advanced and informed so many different topics in our world or issues that our world is facing. They're really, really valuable.
Mm-hmm. The data collected can be so important.
Yeah.
And so vital on so many different layers and so many different levels.
Yeah. And, you know, researchers and scientists rely heavily on community science efforts. You know, by engaging community members, researchers can collect a larger amount of data that often spans more geographic region in a shorter amount of time. There's only so much one researcher or one scientist can do,
That's
you
a really
know?
Good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
The way that this can change from not just from one community to the next, but one like address to the next,
yes.
And everything is that's why this data becomes even more important. And then you add on the top of whether it's grants or scientific data or et cetera, et cetera. There's so many reasons for people to be on the lookout for ways that they can impact this. Yeah. They can be a part of this.
Yep. And when you're a part of something like this, you're learning so much about that specific topic. And the more we learn, the more apt we are to share that information or to bring awareness to a specific topic, which is really cool.
Yeah. I'm so glad you touched on that early on. I don't want that to get lost in the shuffle with this. It's fun to learn.
It
and
is.
This is a fun topic. And community science, this isn't something new, though, is it, Anna?
It is not. It's actually been around since the 1800s. So Alexander von Humboldt, he was a naturalist and explorer who traveled a lot in South America, and he was one of the first people to describe human roles in climate change, which is really interesting, right? We think that that's a new topic. Nope.
Wow.
1800s, you know.
Yeah.
Alexander von Humboldt had a dream of uniting communities through scientific observations, so he established a series of observing stations throughout the world in hopes of coordinating the global study of Earth's magnetism.
If somebody tried to do that nowadays, it would be a big project, an ambitious project, and we would admire it, and it would be pretty cool, and there'd probably be some grants and funding involved.
Right.
This guy did this in the 1800s, where just breathing was hard. Like, it's incredible. That is incredible. That
very,
is really cool.
Very, and I mean, that effort was the first community science effort that really built the foundation on which modern scientific community at its best should operate, right? You're collecting and you're sharing knowledge across the world for free, knowledge. Free opportunities for learning.
Which is perfect with this subject and just perfect in general. I'm a big believer in knowledge should always be free. I don't think that education should ever cost a penny. That's a whole other topic. but when it comes to this type of information, it's even that much more vital that it is shared. It is free form. It is out there. It is one thing that I admire. I'm sure this changes from time to time with certain layers of the community, the scientific community. But so much of the scientific community seems to be like about the information, not about me.
Yeah.
Not about so much who discovered this spider, but that this spider was discovered.
Yeah.
And I admire that so much. I think that's a huge part of this and the sharing of this information. And especially with you know, I get into this conversation almost on a daily basis with whether Midday Magazine guests mm-hmm. or just our listeners. There are so many big issues out there this day and age, and sometimes they can seem overwhelming.
Yeah.
I look at this similar to when I was a kid and I looked at my messy room. And I don't know, I didn't know where to begin. I got a really messy room.
Yeah.
You just start in one spot.
Right.
You start in that one spot and you work your way around.
Right.
And if you break these things down, it becomes, okay, well, this is actually solvable.
It's attainable.
Yeah, we can do something about this.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what we face today, right? Like you said, in today's world, we're facing some big issues that on an individual level can feel daunting, right? We think about climate change. We think about species endangerment, destruction of our natural resources, right? Like these are just things that we're facing. And as an individual, it can be really daunting to think about how can I fix this? But community science, if we approach it with that mindset, you don't have to face those issues alone, right? Oftentimes in science, whether you're, you know, a scientist collecting data or a politician bringing awareness or advocating for funding, et cetera, we tend to become siloed into our own areas of research, our own topic areas, et cetera. But if we approach things with a community mindset where researchers are doing something, you know, that they're digging into the science of it, the community science efforts are giving researchers, they're creating data sets for those researchers. Politicians are advocating, utilizing that data to advocate for more funding. You know, it's just the less we silo ourselves and the more we bring that community approach, I think the more effective these efforts can be.
This is something that we touch on almost on an hourly basis, if not a daily basis here at Civic Media. It's a big part of our mission of bringing our communities together more and getting rid of a lot of the divisiveness. This is a very similar thing with this, where we are looking to bring people together. And you talk about a topic of all topics that can bring people together. We got one rock. We got one rock to live on, everybody.
Yeah.
Making this thing work is in the benefit of all of us.
Right.
The planet doesn't care who you vote for. The planet doesn't care.
No.
It just wants to stick around.
Yeah.
And when we can share this information, we also find so much of another commonality between us. Where I bring this up a lot. Where I grew up in South Chicago mm-hmm. and here in Wisconsin Rapids, the people have so many commonalities.
Yeah.
There are so many connections between the two that we are more alike than we realize. It's just oftentimes we don't have that information brought to us. This is another one of those connections. This is another one of those things that brings us together and shows that we have more in common than not, even in the land we live on.
Right. I mean, we're all affecting the land we live on, whether we know it or not. And we can all be part of the change. And that's what's beautiful about these, you know, community science efforts is they give people an opportunity to become part of the change, to learn, to have a positive effect on their community, on the world, that affects so many more people than, you know, just us as individuals.
And Anna, I don't want to skate past the point because I think it's a really strong one that you brought up, and I appreciate so much the insight that mm-hmm. you have on these things that I don't see myself very often. The idea that we are not in this alone,
mm-hmm.
the reminder of that, and the continuing reminder of that, because you're right, we do get very, even just in our daily grind, we get locked in our own heads, let alone if we're on social media or some of these things that create us in a bubble effect.
Yeah.
The idea that we are not alone in this is something that we need to be reminded of from time to time. And it's a great note on this. And it's also a good note what you mentioned and what we're about to get into as far as how in Wisconsin here, we have a lot of opportunities for you to be able to do this.
I know. I was trying to count yesterday when I was putting my notes together on the topic, how many I could name offhand, you know, or off the top of my mind. And so I did a little bit more searching because I'm like, I know we have more. We actually in Wisconsin have 34 different community science efforts. And those were only the ones that I could find. So I'm sure there are much
more.
Probably much more. And they're really, really unique to Wisconsin. These are, and you know, other parts of the country have different community science approaches and programs. But Wisconsin, I think, really values and thrives on our community science efforts.
What kind of programs exist, Anna?
Yeah, so the programs that exist cover a wide variety of topics. If you are interested in wildlife, invasive species, insects, water quality, birds, climate, plants, and even space. I did not know we had like a space community science program in Wisconsin, but we do.
I'm very intrigued by that. That sounds really cool. And they're like, it's, you talk about something where there's something for everybody. Yeah. I mean, it really does cover the gamut of things. That, and with these, especially with all of these too, you are experiencing, you're now in nature, you're taking in some nature, and you, well, I have to go out. I got this community service thing. I got to do this. You get to see outside as well.
And not only that, you're meeting new community members, right? Yeah. You're meeting new folks within your community. Wow. You're building new friendships. You're not only meeting community members, but also conservation professionals. And these community science efforts, I don't want to get us into the mindset that they're just conservation focused. Mm-hmm. They're not, you know, they're everywhere. But if you're part of the ones I'm talking about, you're going to meet so many different conservation professionals that will be able to help you learn more about different topics. It's really neat.
That's another, again, with the insight and the points here I don't see. As we get older, and this is not a age thing necessarily, but it is, it does have to do with it a little bit, where as the older we get, it becomes harder and harder to make new friends and just to run into people, just to meet people. That's a great point about this. You talk about meeting people that are, whether they're like-minded or just have similar, you know, things that you have in common or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is a great event for that. This is a great opportunity for that.
Yeah, it is. And you know, like, you have to gauge your time too. So I will speak on some of the groups that I know. The demographics are generally people that are higher in age, right? Mm-hmm. But I really want to encourage younger folks to become involved in some of these citizen science efforts and these community science efforts, because you are the next generation that will be able to take the reins on these programs and help inform data. You know, you, like, we have to have that generational turnover within these efforts so they thrive, right?
Yeah. It's the only way this works is if we hand the baton off and that next generation is ready to take it.
Yeah.
And thankfully, we have opportunities for that too, for young and old and all to get immersed in this.
Yeah.
Do you have any opportunities or anything coming up, Anna, that touch on that you wanted to invite anybody to? Or
James, I do. So if you're interested in any of these community science efforts, you can go to UW-Madison Library Research Guides, and you can search community science opportunities, people and projects, and there's a whole list that will be brought up. But if you want a more hands-on experience with some of these efforts, I invite all listeners to join me at Science by the River on October 5th, 2024. So that will be next Saturday.
Yeah, coming
right
up.
Science by the River. I know, it's wild.
You guys ready?
I think so. I hope so.
Definitely. I feel confident. You guys are ready.
You guys are set
for this. It's easy for me to say, probably, but this is, for those that are new to the community or haven't gotten a chance to experience this, this is one of my favorite events we do. I love the combination. I love all of the things that this brings and how spread out this is in our community. This is a free community event that's going to be hosted here in Wisconsin Rapids. You want to tell us a little bit more about it, Anna?
Yeah, so Science by the River is a celebration of, you know, all things science and outdoors. So it's a free community event, like James said. We'll be set up on the walking path here in Wisconsin Rapids, the riverfront walking path from Ben Hansen Park right over to the Wisconsin Rapids Farmers Market. And we'll go from 11 o'clock to 2, and the main attraction, I guess you would call it, for Science by the River is our discovery stations. So along that walking path, we'll have almost 20 different discovery stations set up. And the hosts of these discovery stations are different science-based organizations, groups, departments throughout our community and surrounding communities. So those folks will host different discovery stations, and they'll have information, hands-on activities, information on how you can become involved, what these groups do, etc. And they're all science-based. We're really trying to just bring awareness of how, of the efforts in our community that are science-based and what's going on. Because like I've said before, oftentimes it it's not talked about, right? Yeah. And it seems like a hidden gem in our community, and there's
really does
so many opportunities.
This event, one of the things that I love about it, and I didn't realize it until last year's event, I think a lot of us can relate to or remember, I should say, in school, especially in science classes, this happened. You know what? We're going outside today, kids.
Yeah.
We're doing the class outside, or it was just a nice day out, so the teacher brought us outside to learn and everything, and how great those days were, how great those classes were. This is that, you know, times 1,000. This is that on a bigger scale, even.
Right, it's all outdoors. Mm-hmm. If anything, so I say, you know, we have got the 20 different discovery stations. They're set up along the paved trail. It is 2 miles long. Mm-hmm. So if you're coming, make sure you bring a bike or you bring walking shoes, etc. But it's 2 miles of different discovery stations that you can stop at. If something doesn't interest you, at least you're going on a walk right next to the Wisconsin River, and we'll have facts about the river set alongside on little yard signs. That's we'll cool. have facts about how you can become involved in science efforts. There'll be something for everybody. And this is, all ages are welcome. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have kids, we're going to have kind of a little discovery station scavenger hunt.
Oh, I love this. I love scavenger hunts. It's such a cool idea.
James, maybe we'll give you a scavenger
hunt. Off air, I was going to ask their age limit, but
it's aimed at kids, but we won't say no.
Good to hear.
And if you know the kiddos or whoever finishes the scavenger hunt and visits a certain amount of discovery stations, you'll get a prize at the end. And cool. I'm not going to give away what the prizes are, but they're pretty cool.
Yeah, I imagine. When you're talking about this and taking in these things, I'm imagining so many people in our community enjoying this, but also realizing at the same time I am, this is fun. There is no downside to this.
No.
But, you know, you're going to check this out. And like you said, if you get to a station and it just doesn't interest you or the child that much, you move on to the next station, or at the very least, you guys got to go out for a walk together.
Yep, and it's 11 o'clock to 2 p.m.
Not a big time commitment.
Not a big time commitment, and it's come and go at your leisure. Like, if you want to just come and go as you please, go for it. That's A-okay.
We're going to have some stations there, too, like the Center for Watershed Science and Education at UW-Stevens Point down there to share information and get people caught up on some things as well.
Yeah, so they'll be down there, the Center for Watershed Science and Education. They'll be down there. They'll be talking about watershed health, watershed information. They'll have some demonstrations on watersheds. And if you are a private well owner, they are offering free nitrate screenings for your well water.
Wow.
All they do is ask that you bring one cup of water in a clean container, and free of charge to you. Wow. You can get your well water screened for nitrate. I mean, that's a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah. And again, well, you get to take in all of this and getting something like that done, checking that off your to-do list and everything is nice.
Yes. Yep.
The Nisena National Wildlife Refuge is also going to be down there. We love our friends over there.
Yep. And their friends group, the Friends of the Nisena National Wildlife Refuge, will be with them. They'll have information about the refuge, which is, I think, a hidden gem in central Wisconsin. We have a national wildlife refuge in our backyard. They'll have a stream table there demonstrating, you know, natural flows of streams, how they change over time, how conservation efforts can help improve. It's a really, really cool demonstration.
I haven't saw that before. That's really
cool.
Interesting. Oh, check that out. And with this, the discovery education stations will be set up and everything as well to kind of teach on some other topics.
Yep, they'll be teaching about rocketry and electricity. They'll have face painting. They'll have different arts and crafts, and they're going to bring three of their animal ambassadors. And if you want to know what their animal ambassadors are, you're going to have to show up and see them.
you're so good at the tease. You're so good at these. As we've touched on, this is not only a fun event for you as a person, or going with your friends, or certainly your family, but when it comes to bringing kids into these events, for one, it's always great to have something to look forward to and something that you could do with the kids. It is, to be blunt, free, and you get them outdoors. But you also, we just never know when that spark might happen in the kid's mind.
Yep.
And you were talking before about getting younger people involved in these organizations and getting them care about conservation.
Yeah.
This is one of the ways we do that, by sparking that interest in them and showing them how cool science is, how great it is, and how rewarding this information can be.
Yeah, it's not just conservation that is at Science by the River. Very heavy conservation, because that's Jen and I, that's who we know, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's many different stations where, you know, Maybe you're looking at engineering. There's a couple of stations that focus on engineering. Who knows if that's going to strike, you know, some chord in your kiddo and they, I really like this. I really like electricity. I'm going to be an electrician. You know, you just never know. So that's why we wanted to offer this opportunity to our community, not only for kids, but also for any age, to just become aware of the opportunities that you have to become involved, to put your efforts towards, or to just be curious about, right?
Yeah. And I know that you guys at Extension are a huge part of this. You do a lot of this, but you're not alone in this effort.
No.
As we're wrapping up, I want to shout out the other organizations and part of this with you.
Yeah. Clean Green Action has been a huge advocate and a huge supporter of Science by the River. And then the Encourage Community Foundation is also financially supporting this year, which is really wonderful. And we're really thankful for their support. And we've got a planning committee of all different organizations. You know, it's not just one UW Extension or two UW Extension educators that can take on this task. It takes the community to host a community event.
Do you guys, well said, do you guys need volunteers or anything for this event? Could you use any extra hands or anything?
If we could use a couple of extra hands, if you'd like to volunteer or if you'd like to just learn more information about Science by the River, you can reach out to me at 715-421-8440 or you can email me at anna.m.james@wisc.edu.
It throws me when I hear the
James. I know.
Now I'm used to Mitchell.
I know.
Do you guys have a Facebook page for Science by the River?
We do. Okay. We do have a Facebook page. You could go on Facebook and search Science by the River. I've got some sneak peeks at the discovery stations that we'll have set up, and we'll be releasing the map and a couple of different really cool information about the event.
And again, just to go back a little bit, Anna, and remind everybody about how they can be a part of these different conservation groups, these different organizations. As far as community science goes, that's another one you can ask Anna about as well and get caught up on. And Anna, one more time, if people need to reach out to you, get in touch with you, how can they do that?
You can email me at anna.m.james@wisc.edu or call me at 715-421-8440.
We will see you at Science by the River.
Yes.
Enjoy yourself, and thank you so much for hanging out
with us.
Thanks
so much, James.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Maggie Dawn.
It is fabulous Female Friday on the Maggie Dawn Show. Folks, we've got historian Heather Cox Richardson and Senator Tammy Baldwin. You are not going to want to miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Todd Alba Show.
They're eating the pets.
J.D. Vance has said on the air that he admitted it was all a lie. Pat Kreitlow, words have consequences.
Of course they do. When we're talking about the incendiary remarks about immigrants, we're not talking about the fact that it was Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone who killed the bipartisan border security and immigration reform bill.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Hurricane Helene is a Category 3 hurricane now and will make landfall in Florida, but it's huge, and much of the Southeast is under threat. Tom Hansen is in Tallahassee.
Georgia, the Carolinas, and Virginia have joined Florida in declaring states of emergency.
It is not necessary for you to be on the roads during and after this storm. Please try to stay home.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams will be arraigned tomorrow.
I look forward to defending myself and defending the people of this city.
He's charged with taking bribes and illegal campaign contributions. The U.S. and Israel are holding talks in New York on a ceasefire proposal for Lebanon. White House spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre.
We want to see a 21-day ceasefire to give us the space to have that conversation so that we can have a negotiation to end this.
On Wall Street today, the Dow is up 260 points. CBS News Brief. I'm Cammie McCormick.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A 4-year-old girl from Neillsville is expected to pull through after being found shot in a home yesterday. At this point, investigators say it looks like another child shot her with a handgun. They haven't said whether it was an accident. Local election clerks are busy explaining how secure Wisconsin's balloting is. For instance, Madison City Clerk Maribeth Witzel-Bale says all poll workers work in twos.
Two poll workers initial your ballot. Two poll workers are checking you into the poll book. Two poll workers are involved if an absentee is damaged and needs to be remade.
About